and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be there
in an hour. I was thinking about if I would be mad or jealous in the Sabres drought era, which really has just ended.
Yeah.
If all this action were happening and we were just sort of lone in a lonely state, sitting out here, you know, on a patio, on a deck,
kinda
watching
like it,
everything go by.
Kind of like it almost always was here, even when the Sabres were not terrible.
Yes, but at least there was the occasional, if not constant, complaint that, oh, well, remember when hockey was fun and there were trades and
right.
Now there aren't any? Because there are trades.
It's
like heavy action.
It's
yesterday.
Been kind of nuts. Yeah. I mean, one of the first things I saw this morning when I woke up was a tweet from longtime hockey commentator Jeff Merrick that said, this is the craziest trade deadline ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
I think it goes hand in hand with what is happening with some of the players. I think the players are, we talked about this the other day, I think.
Yesterday,
They're getting more empowered. Like, it's less of a scarlet letter if you step out of line. Like, hockey players have traditionally been sort of, I don't want to put my head up above the horizon here because I'll seem selfish or needy or something, right? So just go with the flow. I'm just here to try my best. Go team. And guys are, I don't know if it's beginning with Matthew Tkachuk a few years ago when he wanted out of Calgary, but his brother just did the same thing. Bowen Byram ostensibly just did the same thing. He said, I don't know that he picked his spot necessarily, but said, I'm not going to resign. You know, we went through this with Reinhardt. Like, guys are feeling, I think, the more guys that do it, the more the realization is that, like, life goes on. Yeah, those fans may be mad at you, but whatever. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
There's so much to say.
Yeah.
Yesterday for me it was Kyrou, where I sort of had a light bulb moment. Like, why would you do that? I mean, what is the incentive for the Blues? They just don't want the headache. They don't want the cost of a guy that's, I mean, he did have a down year, as you said,
yep.
But I think there are sort of like non-stat-based factors that somehow have incentivized teams to just move on fast. And Byram is a great case study in this because really, how long ago did we first hear that maybe there were loggerheads with him? Like 2 weeks ago, if that? You know, there was always speculation. The season ends and like, what are you going to do here? But then it became, he wants to leave. And there's a lot of luck in this. I think Kevin Adams would maybe say this. The timing was, I think it seems, ideal in this move for what the Sabres just did as a team, for what Byram just did as a player. I mean, a year ago, I just would have driven him to the airport to get a fourth-round pick or something. Just, I don't want to have to pay this guy. His numbers are terrible. Can I just be done? And then a year went by, and they had 109 points and a playoff round win and everything else, and he was a big part of the success. So apparently he was ready to move on, and here he is today talking about how Chicago, or somebody is saying on his behalf, like Chicago, he always wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And then you have Chicago's kind of like a moron team.
Right.
So then it's just perfect.
And you also have today, there's a lot to unpack. Kekalainen said today, I was trying to convince him all year. Right? He said that about Byron.
To stay.
I wanted to sign him. So when he said when the season ended, how much of a priority Byron was, I think he was playing cards with the other GMs, because I think he probably would have already had a sense that Bowen Byram was going to want to do what he ended up doing, which is go somewhere where he's going to get paid $12 million a year to be a number one defenseman. And but yet Kekalainen, I'm guessing, you know, because you shouldn't make a habit of telling people your objective is to do a thing that you already know is unlikely to happen. The only motivation you'd have to do it is to hope that you're not going to be put in a position where everyone knows you're trading the guy. And maybe you can get a better deal. And so I'm assuming Kekalainen was just blowing smoke when he said that, because I doubt that that changed between the conversations he had. The way he said it today was, I was trying to convince him all year. And if it hadn't worked by the middle of May, I don't know why it would have changed when the season was over.
Because, you know, just to play it out, they did so well. And, you know, vibes, right?
Yeah,
we want to think that the Sabres are now a vibes team. And, you know, come on. We'll pay you a lot of money. You just won't be number one. And, you know, Kekalainen, you're going to have to maybe, I'm not sure you'll want to. Anybody's welcome to try to rein me in. I have Seinfeld on the brain. Last night on ADP Chasing, Seinfeld came up and I botched it, but I brought up, we're talking about Brandon Ayuk.
Mm-hmm.
And now if Brandon Ayuk just sort of like set foot on the 49ers practice field, that would mean he's sort of like officially back, and then they would cut him immediately, and, you know, then that would be resolved, but he won't do that. And it reminds me of a Seinfeld where Kramer goes to work at that store, but he wasn't hired. He's just doing it for fun or something. If Joe's listening, he'll straighten me out here. And it's my favorite line in the history of the show, where the manager is across the desk. He's like, we're going to have to let you go. And then Kramer says, I don't even work here. And the beautiful favorite line of mine in Seinfeld history is when the manager responds by saying, that's what makes this so difficult.
Right. Right.
And so, like, you know, maybe Kekalainen, to use Seinfeld again, and I know this, has the show ever sounded older? I don't know if how actually relevant Seinfeld still is to people half my age. But there's also a Kramer storyline where it's Elaine's boyfriend and he's a psychiatrist. And mm-hmm. he's in that dark room. And what? Kramer is trying, on Elaine's behalf, Kramer is, I don't know. Kramer's trying to talk him out of going out with her or something like that. She's trying to break up with him and she's using Kramer to do it.
Yes.
And Kramer's having no luck with this guy. And, you know, the guy says something like, I want you to tell her this. And Kramer sort of hems and haws, and the guy goes, you can and you will. And I think that might be Kekalainen.
Right. Yeah, maybe.
So it took me a minute, but
yeah.
I feel like I'm a little bit giddy.
While you're sorting yourself through that and maybe catch your breath.
Uh-oh.
I think, bracing for this. Elliot Friedman is reporting Tuck is being traded to Washington.
Fine.
Says, not sure how the pieces will fit, but talk to Washington and signing 8 by 10.5.
When Elliot Friedman tweeted an hour and a half ago that was likely to happen, I took that to mean it was going to happen.
Right.
By 3 o'clock.
It looks like that is happening. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know I wouldn't expect any reason to be excited about the return, but they'll get something, right? I mean, mid-round pick is probably what you're looking at here. I doubt it's anything that's going to matter.
I did want to ask you or Paul about one aspect of that, which is, does Tuck, as a member of the Sabres, as it is not yet July 1st, before this trade is consummated, do he and his agent get to negotiate with Washington? Like, somebody must tell Washington whether he would do it. And then if...
Yeah,
he wouldn't, then there is no trade.
I'm not sure how the order of that works, because it is a sign and trade is how we say it. But I think really it's a trade and sign, because Washington, if they acquire his rights before July 1st, they can then do the 8 years, right? That's how that works. So it's not like the Sabres are the only team until he's on another team and his rights are traded, they're the only team that can do that. But now Washington can do that. So, yeah, I think the negotiation happens directly with the team acquiring the player.
It's the most exciting trade deadline ever. It's the most exciting July 1st ever. And it's June 24th.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, here we are, 803-0550. Byram is gone.
Jordan Greenway?
Greenway is gone.
Do we want to spend just a minute with all of this unfolding last night like it did? Because it felt like it just sort of kept getting better. Although, I mean, the lead of it was the fourth pick was right away. The first tweet I saw involving this deal potentially happening said the fourth overall pick. Like, so that's a hell of a lead. Like, holy cow, right? And then it's like, there's more. But I thought that might be more coming back than going out. And then next thing I hear is it's Greenway. They're going to take the Greenway contract. And I like Greenway more than maybe most fans did, but still, I mean, $4 million is
you don't need him.
It's great at this time of the year to free that up. They need another big guy on the fourth line. Go find one later. They're out there. So that's great news. And then, oh, the guy that's coming is 6'8 and led the league in 100-mile-per-hour shots last year. Like I don't know. Like, I think that's a third-pair guy probably, you know, on this team. I don't think that's a Byram replacement or anything. I don't think they have a Byram replacement in the organization currently. But it just was so cool to have a trade sort of just each layer of it. There was no, it was all just... Yeah.
It was not the confer.
Yeah.
There was not the confer angst.
Right, of the Zadorov or like whatever.
There's going to be more here. And right. You sort of sit back.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Yourself. So now what? Right? I mean, I'm thinking, I mean, the fourth pick, it's a great haul. I mean, I think they killed the Blackhawks in this trade. Even if Byram does become exactly what they're dreaming of him becoming, they've done great here. Because this guy was not going to be with them anymore long term. They could have rented him for the year, I guess. I think I brought that up yesterday as a outcome that I wouldn't have been, you know, terrified of necessarily, depending on what else they did. But
Him around?
Yeah, yeah. But they don't. They do great in the trade. They unload some salary. The fourth overall pick. What? Like, I haven't even been thinking about who's at the top of the draft. The Sabres were picking 27th, and they were picking 20th, and now they're picking 4th and 20th. But for me, as valuable as the 4th overall pick is, I feel like it's much better turned into something that is immediate. Because I think as good a player as they can pick at 4, and they probably can pick a player that will be maybe even great at 4, it's not helping them right now. I doubt that guy is stepping into the NHL and playing, you know, meaningful top. Like if they wanted to draft one of the defensemen at the top here, am I drafting Matthew Schaefer? No. I mean, that was one overall. I think whoever they pick will probably not help them right away. So I'm all about, all right, is 4 too much to pay for Matthew Nyes, or is it just perfect? Do I not have add any sweeteners at all? Can I just do that one for one? Can I get Dylan Larkin on the phone? Get Tage Thompson recruited? I want to spin 4 into something immediate, because as cool as it would be to have another hotshot young guy, man, my cup's pretty full in that department, and I need to now replace Alex Tuch, if indeed he's gone.
Which he is.
He's regardless of this trade, I mean, Kekalainen slammed the door shut on that. So I got to replace Tuch and Byram now. And maybe Byram is the focus, and they feel like the kids maybe will be enough. Because, I mean, Kekalainen is right there to mention the kids after saying, Tuch, we're probably not going to be revisiting this. But that could be just GM smoke, too. I mean, who knows? But I think he's got to be working on something big with 4-20 in his pocket now, and a team that should be treated as a cup contender. I feel like those picks can turn into something really cool here in the next few days.
Well, I'm optimistic. I'm certainly open to that. I love draft picks, and I don't think I would hate it necessarily if they just used the draft picks. Because there's also the potential to do more next week or in trades. Like, you still have other, you know, opportunities here in theory. But I am just really geeked up for what this guy is doing. I just think, I don't know if he was conning anybody after the season about Byram. You know, I mean, if I'm going to give him all the credit, all the respect, the Seinfeld psychiatrist comp, I need his name. You know, it's like, listen, all right, he's talking to Byram, and he knows what Byram is feeling and thinking. And he's like, look, you can be in on it, all right? I'm going to talk about our future together, and I'll get you what you need, as long as I can do it, as long as there's a way to do it. And I could have been lied to right to my face at that press conference, and, like, I'm not mad.
Right, no, me either.
I'm just, okay, I know this kind of thing does happen, and really what it is my feelings about the player and the trade to begin with. And that's going to, if you don't like the trade, then you're not as likely, obviously, you're not as likely to be receptive to, like, sort of whatever game you might have been subject to in the last month or so. But I never got all the way there with Byram. I thought a year ago he was a disaster of an idea for some sort of long-term deal, that it was exactly what the Sabres usually would do. But it was interesting to me that they couldn't do it or didn't do it. And my takeaway was, well, they tried to move him and they couldn't, which I don't know. Like, nobody ever told me that, but that's always how it sounded. This is a year ago. Mm-hmm. It's always how it sounded to me. And this really was this week last year, because, like, the draft is when you do that.
Right.
And they didn't. And it just seemed like more of the same.
And then they agreed on a 2-year deal.
Yeah. I mean, well, you got to do something if you're going to keep him. So they did that. But Samuelson really tipped the whole thing. I mean, his ascent opened room, not to take credit away from Byram, because he did very well. He improved. I think that's safe to say.
He was a bit, I mean, I treated those four guys as equals. But I mean, yeah, he had as much to do with them dominating from the back end as any of the guys did. I mean, he's not Dahlin, I know, but I thought he was their best player in the Boston series. Best player on the ice. So, I mean, that's impactful. And that's not a guy that I'm eager to part with. But all along, it's like, you got to understand, like, the player has a say in that too. You can't just do everything you want to do. So I think, given the situation that they were in, not really feeling like they're going to be able to keep this guy long term, because he wants to get out of here and go somewhere where he can fly and be free, to get the haul they did is just, it's kind of incredible. I think, like, I was really worried. I mean, I would guess, I mean, the way he's talking, maybe there was some assurance given to the Blackhawks that, like, I will commit to you. I will sign long term. But he's not eligible to do that until July 1st. So they have to do this, you know, without the security of maybe they can agree to it or something. Nod, nod, wink, wink. But, like, until he's into the last year of his deal, which doesn't happen until July 1, he can't sign an extension. So they had to do that. You know, there has to be some amount of risk there that they won't end up with what they really wanted. That usually mitigates what you're going to get in return. Fourth overall, what? Like, I'm blown away by it. But yet, I want it to turn into something else. So, but it's a great haul.
Yeah, you would love to know how Yarmo pulled it off. What I want a documentary on all these big trades, just exclusive to the particular trade in question. Like, how did the conversation start? Who called whom? Who started it? You know, did he call everybody? Like, look, we might have a problem here with Byram, and sort of sound really sad when he's actually thinking, you know, he's now, I'm in a Rounders moment where it's like, you know, just sort of bluffing. I know I've got this, but I have to look like I am beat.
Mm-hmm.
Or does his phone ring off the hook with offers for him? Like, how about San Jose? How about Mike Greer talking about Byram openly, like, that he was interested?
Yeah.
But, you know, he basically said Chicago did way more.
Right. We had the ninth pick. They had the fourth. And, like, that.
it read like he might have been laughing when he was talking. Like, oh, well, we can't compete with that.
Yeah.
So he did, you know, the Sabres did what was best for the Sabres. I don't know. It's really a great moment here with the draft this weekend in two nights, not to mention that it's in Buffalo, actually. But either way, we're right in the middle of all this. July 1st is 1 week from today. And then you have free agency. There's all kinds of more rumor stuff today. Vincent Trocheck.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a lot more in the air, balls in the air today. And I just wonder what fans' impression of Kekalainen is. Like, has he overstepped? Or is he now your new daddy? Is he now your hero? Is this a GM that has basically just taken over your life? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the words.
I can't get all the way there yet, because to me the job is not he has not done a single thing yet to make the team any better.
Well, okay. What are the odds that that'll happen?
I think really good, but I need to see it first. But I'm encouraged. I think the fact that he could pull this off to this extent makes me feel like there's bigger things coming, but I'm going to need to see him, because the objective this offseason should not have been, and definitely is not, to see how much I can get for Bowen Byram and can I salvage something for Alex Tuch by trading his rights at the last minute. It's got to be, making this, improving the hockey team. That's the idea here. So they now need a top four defenseman that, I don't think organizationally they have that guy at all. Mertka might be still another year away, unless he shows up and is just just out of this world. But I mean, he
you can't really count on that.
No, you just not as a cup contending team. You can't. And I sort of feel to an extent the same way about, I want room for kids, but I don't want to just open the door wide and say, come on in, I got spots for all of yous. Because I'm going to need some veterans, I think, here. So I'm very happy. I'm not at all upset with Jarmo Kekalainen or down on him, but the job is nowhere near done.
Find a Willy Wonka meme where he opens the door and all the kids run in. That's the Sabres opening the door to the 2026-27 season. Come on in.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say the easy part is done, but like dumping guys
is always easier.
Is easier than pulling guys in that you think are going to improve the overall here. Like that's the meat of the job here.
Well, I haven't yet really dug in on the fourth overall pick options. And I don't know, maybe something will happen before I get to it.
Right. That's right.
Because
don't rush.
I didn't expect it to be a big topic. 803-0550 for your thoughts. Yesterday we had Hellebuyck. I guess that could still be a possibility. Now we have the Byram trade. Tuch is traded, not officially necessarily, but reportedly, to Washington. So that's over. And whatever else comes along. How much faith do you have? I am teeming with it. I am oddly, very strangely, teeming with faith in all of this. But I'm, I'm gullible. I'm naive. I'm an easy mark. I do get like this. Here's proof. I do.
I am also excited, because I like the potential for him to get done what needs to be done. But I can't stand and applaud and take my hat off.
They have to do the rest of it first.
Yep.
Lines open for your calls. We'd love to hear from you. Chad DeDominicis, Paul Hamilton today, experts on the subjects. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.